Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, so normally when I would walk into a pastor's office, if all of a sudden I see a rainbow flag, I'm going to assume I'm in the wrong office. But not today. I am not in the wrong office today.
Amen.
Because I am in Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr.'s office here at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. And he's waving a rainbow flag like there's no tomorrow.
Amen.
But that flag's a little different than what I'm used to seeing.
Yes,
so what's different about, so this is a flag, like a regular flag. With all the colors of the rainbow.
Right.
But there's something else on this flag. It's not exactly what most people would expect.
Amen. It has all seven of the rainbow colors.
All seven.
And it says Jesus Pride.
Ah.
And I want to wish, I'm cutting in before you even introduce me, but I want to wish you, my brother,
amen,
and your awesome audience, and by the way, Steve, you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
I want to wish you a happy Jesus Pride Month Day.
Amen. There
Amen.
We go. It's
Amen.
Jesus Pride Month.
Jesus Pride Month.
I thought it was a different kind of Pride Month.
Yeah, well, you know what? I made the declaration at the Upper Room Church of God of Christ, the first of this month, that the month of June would be dedicated to Jesus Pride since, I think in 1999, President Clinton, 99-2000, declared June to be LGBT month, and then President Barack Obama, for his entire 8 years, dedicated the month of June and October to LGBT, Q, and whatever the other letters are. So, and then when President Trump followed suit in declaring the month to be the same, I thought that it was necessary to also declare, since the God of the Bible makes all the months, every day, all
right,
the seasons, the
That's
Bible
right.
says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease, Genesis 8:22, we decided that we would not give this month away. Not give any ground. And our celebration is not mean-spirited. We're not celebrating by saying, oh, we want to beat another community of people over the head. We're just saying, hey, we are so proud. We are proud to be associated with Jesus Christ.
There you go.
The rainbow, the rainbow, it's God's rainbow.
That's right.
God put it in place to remind himself of the promise that he made,
yes,
and to remind us of the promise that he made. He promised and gave the sign of the rainbow that he would never again destroy the earth,
amen,
with water. And it reminds him and it reminds us. And I don't think that we should allow the rainbow to be commandeered. We have hanging in our church the rainbow that's been up there for years, and every Sunday we explain to the people we have two rainbows. We have the rainbow with the colors on one side of the, if you're facing the church, is on the right side,
yep,
and on the left side there's the emerald rainbow,
yes,
that will be above the throne of God that the book of Revelation talk about, that we're going to see when we get to heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So I don't think we should surrender.
Nope.
The rainbow.
There it is.
Praise
right.
the Lord.
Jesus Pride
Amen.
Rainbow.
Last thing on this. You can't find a rainbow with the seven colors. We had to have it made. You know,
wow,
now everywhere it's the six colors, which represent an entire different group of people who we're trying to win to,
yep,
Christ.
That's right.
They're for whom Christ died, but they're living in error and they're living a lifestyle that's not beneficial to
Amen.
Them nor
that's
to
right.
anyone else. We want them to know about the saving grace of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So here we are, and I'll give it back to Steve, since it's the Steve Noble Show. It's the Steve Noble Show, not Patrick Wood and Steve. But happy Jesus
That's
Pride.
That's right. Happy Jesus Pride Month. And again, I mean, we can talk about this and don't even need to talk about what people that are celebrating their rebellion, we're
right.
celebrating our Savior.
Amen. Amen.
And so every month,
Amen.
Every day, every week should be
Glory.
All about Jesus Pride,
Glory.
Praising
Glory.
The Lord.
Glory.
Above. So praise the Lord for that. Thanks for leading as always in that.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So we're going to talk today. We've got Leslie Monet here
Amen.
In your office. And Leslie is also a member here
mm-hmm.
at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. And there's something going on at the Church of God in Christ. Christ, Leslie, and Bishop Wooden. That is highly unusual for any church, any denomination. Mm-hmm. And I think it would shock a lot of people because the Church of God in Christ, correct me if I'm wrong, is it the largest African-American black denomination on the planet?
Largest African-American black Pentecostal denomination in existence.
In existence.
Yes, sir.
And so a lot of people would assume there would not be something as aggressive and as pro-life going on as the Family Life Campaign. Mm-hmm. But yet, there is. So, Leslie, yes. Tell us about it real quick before we hit the commercial break. Just generally introduce us to the Family Life Campaign through the Church of God in Christ.
Absolutely. What the Family Life Campaign is all about is preserving families, actually. Mm-hmm. We go from topics mm-hmm. of abortion to adoption to foster care to serving families. And to taking care of those post-abortive women that we have in our congregation as well.
Amen. Amen.
And so what happened at the top of the food chain, Bishop Wooden? Because this had to, obviously, there's things going on the local level. Your church has been involved in the life issue for years and has been leading in that here in North Carolina. But what happened at the top level of the Church in God in Christ that they decided we're going to do this as a denomination?
Well, I'll tell you what, long story short, first of all, we have a tremendous presiding bishop.
Absolutely.
Bishop Charles Edward Blake. He lives in Los Angeles, California. He's been the presiding bishop now, I think, about eight years or so. He's the seventh in succession. And in 2015, one of the things that happened that I thought was amazing, and it could have been coincidental, when he came to do my inaugural banquet when I became an auxiliary bishop, I talked to him. He asked me what we were doing. We were on our way back to the airport, and I shared with him the fight for life and how we were engaged in the battle for the unborn and the effect that abortion is having on the African-American community alone, not counting what it's doing to our nation.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, a few months later, we were together, and he unveiled this tremendous move that he was doing nationally. I don't know if he did it because he talked to me. I wouldn't give the conversation much credit. But I do know that it was part of the catalyst, or maybe it confirmed that he was on the right track. He has had a ministry called Save Africa's Children.
Wow. Yes.
Well, in addition to trying to save Africa's children, he has put together this initiative to save America's children,
Amen.
Both black and white. And what I love about it, born and unborn.
Born and unborn, and we're going to pick it up right there when we come back. We're here in the office of Bishop Patrick L. Wooden, Sr. of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. Leslie Monet is here, who's one of the national leaders for the Family Life Campaign at the same denomination, Church of God in Christ. Awesome to be here. It's Black and White Day.
Yep.
Once again, with my slightly older brother from another mother, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden, Sr.
But
this
I'm
is Steve
old.
Noble. We'll be right back.
I'm getting older, Steve. I dare you to
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. You can also join us on Facebook Live. We had some internet issues, but by God's grace, I was able to fix that. So if you want to join us right here in the office of Bishop Patrick L. Wooden, Sr. of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, then you can do that. Just go to Facebook, and the odds are pretty good that you're there already scrolling through your Facebook feed. So stop, repent, and listen. So just switch on over, go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook, and you can join us right here in Bishop Wooden's office, as well as being here with Leslie Monet. She is a member here at the Upper Room, Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina, as well as being one of the national spokespeople of Family Life Campaign. There, I fixed my thing.
You fixed it.
Sounds good.
I wanted people to know that she's a member.
Yes.
And we're so proud of her here.
She's Amen.
Doing a great job.
She's doing a great job, and this is such an important initiative. By the way, for our friends on Facebook Live, if they didn't see that, wave your rainbow flag.
Yes.
So Bishop Wooden has a rainbow flag in here, except it's not the kind you would
That's
normally expect,
right.
because in
That's
big
right.
white letters across the middle, it says Jesus Pride. So some people will take pride in their rebellion. As followers
Amen.
Of Christ, we take pride in our Savior.
Amen.
Always
Glory.
Appreciate Glory. Your willingness Glory. To be bold, Bishop. So
Amen.
Thank you for
Praise
leading
the
there as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So the Church of God in Christ has this initiative, the Family Life Campaign. How does it work, Leslie?
Well, we are asking all of our pastors, all of our church leaders to promote pro-life values. Mm-hmm. And pro-life values is more than just talking about the unborn. However, it is so needed in our congregations, not just the Church of God in Christ, but all congregations need to talk about pro-life and the unborn. But we also want to tell our families, hey, you are the perfect family to foster a child. Get them out of the state custody. You're the perfect person to adopt a child that's needing a home. And we are also the perfect people to help those who have been wounded by abortion, our post-abortive mothers and fathers.
Now, in the denomination and Church of God in Christ, Bishop Wooden, what's been the reaction? Because I watched your live convocation speech in St. Louis, and you just God just blew the roof off of that place. You held nothing back, issuing a challenge and proclaiming the truth about the abortion issue, especially in the African-American community. And so, like I said earlier, a lot of people would be surprised that the Church of God in Christ as a denomination, the biggest Pentecostal black denomination on the planet, would embrace this pro-life initiative, of course, with the orphan crisis and dealing with that and fostering, but with the life issue itself. There has to be some challenges in there somewhere.
There are challenges, but I want to say first, to answer the question, that the message was so embraced that it stayed on back order during the week. I preached on Wednesday night. It sold out over five times.
Praise the Lord.
So that says, not to praise me, but it says that the people love the gospel and they love the truth. And that is so important in this day and time.
Yeah.
And they embrace the truth of God's word. And I can't tell you how many pastors and how many leaders have come up to me since then, and that night and since then, and said, you know what? We have a life church now. We're talking about this. Many didn't know. And what we try to do, we try to keep it from being political, but you can't keep the politics out of it altogether.
Right, right.
Because there's one political party who is just set on making sure all things pro-abortion happens. And then there's another party who's in their platform supports life. So it's been an interesting thing because it's made the people, many have to rethink everything, because here's the bottom line, and no one can argue with this. When you don't have life, without life, there's nothing.
You got nothing.
Absolutely.
You got nothing. And there's so many politicians who offer free college, free this, free that, free the other, providing you get born.
Right.
So the plan is
minor issue there.
Yeah, the plan is you just cause fewer people to be born.
Yeah.
And they won't need these.
Right. Kind of cuts back on that. That's 60 million kids we don't have to worry about putting through college or anything else.
Exactly.
And that is the challenge. I mean, people say, well, we can't get involved with that. It's a political issue. I always remind them, no, it's a biblical issue.
It's a biblical issue.
It's a truth issue. It's a moral issue. It happens to manifest in the real world, in the American context, in politics.
Yes.
But it's not a political issue first and foremost. It's a biblical issue.
Absolutely.
But also, right quick, the when you read the Bible, you see that one of the major vehicles that Satan will ride on in the last days is the political one.
Yeah, that's right.
And what has happened is many preachers have surrendered ground because a politician commandeered an issue. And since the politician commandeered the issue, then all of a sudden we're not supposed to speak to the issue anymore because it's political. Same thing with marriage and everything else. So they said, well, we don't want to touch the marriage thing, you know. But the church owned marriage. The church owns life. The God of the Bible breathed the breath of life into man. So even if it is political, we have to be willing to speak truth to power.
Right. That's right.
And in the Old Testament, the 39 books of the Old Testament, 37 are about the doings, the actions, or something that has to do with a political figure.
Amen.
So we can't divorce.
Yeah, you can't divorce yourselves from it. And in the context of our country, to not engage, to be silent, is just sin, because it affects all of your neighbors.
Sure.
And that's a test. And Jesus made that clear. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you don't get involved, that means you're not loving your neighbor very well.
Amen.
It's a violation. So let me ask you both the same question. Do you think that, and Leslie, I'll start with you, ladies first. Do you think that there is right now kind of an awakening in the African-American church community to I'll just say it, just to get right on the issue of of life. And I'm not talking politically right. I just mean correct, biblical, speak out. Because as you both know, even though African-Americans make up 11 or 12% of the population, they make up about 35% of all the abortions.
Yes.
This is black genocide at its base level. Do you think there's an awakening? Are you encouraged by what you're seeing in the overall black church in America?
I am. I am encouraged. I'm so encouraged that I have cried about this issue. It's so touching. But I think that the awakening is through the Word of God.
Yeah, that's right.
We actually see what's happening in our country and in the world, for that matter, right in the Scriptures. God says in Proverbs 6 and 17, I hate hands that shed innocent blood.
That's right.
And when we look at it through the context of the Scripture, it's a whole new process. It's something that we haven't wanted to tackle. We haven't wanted to step on any toes, and we haven't wanted to be in the limelight.
Right.
But now it's an awakening. It's not only just for African-American people. It's not only an issue of abortion and the baby. It is also a racial issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stronghold that we would be attacked and targeted because of the color of our skin. So it is intersecting with all types of issues, racial, socioeconomic, and foremost and first, the issue of what God says about life and how we have not been preaching it. So there's a lot of awakening going on, and people are opening their eyes to see the truth of what God already said in
Word. So for pastors, Bishop Wooden, whether they're in the Church of God in Christ or any other denomination, it really is about having the boldness to accept what the Word says and preach what the Word says, as opposed to being afraid of the political backlash, of the social backlash.
Yes,
I love a pastor like you, our mutual friend, Pastor Chad Harvey at Raleigh First Assembly.
Awesome man.
Not afraid of their congregation.
Amen.
Only afraid of the God of the Bible.
That's it.
And that starts to change the conversation. We'll pick it up there, talking to Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr., as well as Leslie Monet, one of his awesome members here at the Church of God in Christ Upper Room in Raleigh. This is Steve Noble.
Amen.
We'll be right back.
Jesus proud, everybody.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It is something we don't get to do as often anymore, but hopefully, God willing, we'll change that. Black and White Day here on the show. I'm mobile. I'm on location at Bishop Wooden's office here at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. So next time, I'll make sure we have our theme music. I tell people every once in a while.
I
tell people every once in a while about it. Have you ever heard our Black and White Day theme music, Leslie? It makes people uncomfortable because you realize what's in there. We've got some rap. We've got some other stuff. We have the old Saturday Night Live skit. Which was Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo.
Uh-huh.
And Joe Piscopo played Frank Sinatra, and Eddie Murphy played Stevie Wonder. And they sang that song, "You are black and I am white. You are blind as a bat and I have sight. Side by side, you are my amigo Negro. Let's not fight." That's in there.
Right.
And then the old Oreo theme music's in there. So when I say, when I tell people those two things, they're like, "You do that?" because the deal with Bishop Wooden and I, and this is a 15-year friendship and a meeting on the field of battle, the deal with us is even though you're quote-unquote black and I'm definitely white, none of that matters.
No.
It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful difference. It's part of God's tapestry. You cut us, we bleed red,
right.
And we follow the same Savior. We read the same Word of God. And so we're united on all those things.
Amen.
And
Amen.
The fact that we look different only adds a... It's like, who wants to eat a meal without some spice?
Hello.
Right.
Give me the spice, baby. I want some salt and I want some pepper. Right? Or am I off?
How can you not love this guy?
I love him.
So we're talking to Bishop Wooden as well as Leslie Monet, who's a member here at the Upper Room and is part of the Family Life Campaign through the Church of God in Christ, which is going on across their denomination. You mentioned something that I don't think I've ever heard you say before, other than referring to the Lord, that you needed to get permission from some group of people to engage this issue in a certain way, because we're talking about the Family Life Campaign, which is the Church of God in Christ denomination-wide, every church dealing with the life issue. Who did you need permission from?
I needed permission from black women.
Wow.
From sisters.
Yeah.
Because abortion is so pervasive that 1 in 4 African-American women have had an abortion. So I noticed that when I would begin to talk about this, I would see people's expressions change.
Sure.
I would see people get uncomfortable. I would see some women leave. Some women cry. And it dawned on me what I was seeing. At first, I didn't understand it. And when I realized what was going on, I understood that my message was not complete, that it needed to be accompanied by the fact that if you've confessed your sins and you ask God to forgive you, even if you've had an abortion, you're as forgiven as anyone else. And know that we're not talking about you, we're not after you, and there is nothing for you to do for that, for the abortion that took place, or however many it was. Here's what I begin to say. I need permission. I need your help to help me save the next baby.
Yeah.
We can't. It's too late for your past. And the wonderful thing about the Bible is the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. It doesn't even say return what you've stolen.
Yeah.
It just says let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. So in that approach, I noticed that more and more sisters would stay in service, would champion the cause and join us on the front lines. Because even if you've had an abortion, it does not disqualify
you. That's right.
Absolutely. Nor is it necessary to share your personal story, because the last time I checked, people get saved on the gospel.
That's right.
God's story.
3,000 on the day of Pentecost.
Exactly.
And they didn't each step up and confess publicly.
Exactly. Nor is it required for a person who's had an abortion 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or however many years it was, or 6 months ago, to cry and weep and be and still be held captive to what happened. No, if you're forgiven,
you're forgiven.
You're free.
That's right.
Peter said while preaching on the day of Pentecost, in one of the earliest messages he preached, he says, and you denied the Prince of Life. You denied him. Now, Peter denied him three times.
We're all a hypocrite at some level, right?
And yet he preached it because he was forgiven.
Well,
and once you're forgiven, you're free.
Right. That's right. You're free.
There have been so many precious, precious sisters of color who have joined in this fight. And listen, man, we need people. We don't want that person who have suffered any sin to sit out there and think they've committed a sin. God's forgiven them, to think that they're not a part of this, that they're not viable, that they're not welcome.
Well, Leslie is the only woman in this conversation.
I want to
speak to this because this is so important. And I think that oftentimes we miss it. And as men, I think we miss it. Pastors miss it. I miss it on the air sometimes, that we thunder away on the truth of abortion as we should. But oftentimes we forget to mention the sin of abortion and the forgiveness that's available.
Right.
Cain kills Abel, and Abel's blood cries out to God.
That's right.
What do you think the sound of the blood of 60 million babies sounds like to God?
Yes.
And despite the heinousness of that and the power of that, the blood of Christ is stronger than all of it.
Oh, yeah.
But from a woman's perspective.
What he was saying is so important, and I hope pastors and leaders are listening, because that is the way that you enter into this conversation. Many people say, leaders and pastors, how do I get started? How do I come across to my congregation? That's the way you come across to the congregation. And to add to that, women that have had abortions want no other woman to feel that pain. They don't want to put that pain on anyone else because they know how it feels.
That's
personally.
Right.
Also, once they are forgiven, abortion has been the sin that no church has like said, come to the altar.
Yeah.
It's been the sin that like, oh my God, you can't even get forgiven for that. That's how it feels.
Right.
It's not true. We know God forgives us all. So with the church outstretching their arms and saying, welcome, come to the altar, you know, and you don't have to tell your personal story. But as more and more, this is the face of the pro-life movement.
Yeah.
Black women, we're the last.
Amen.
We're the missing link. We're the last one to come into play. And when we come into play, this thing is going down.
Look out. Yeah, that's exactly
right. It's going down. If we are 36% having abortion, check this out. They say we make up 13% of the country.
As a race,
men and women.
Right.
7 to 8% are women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now the ovulating population is like 3%.
Mm-hmm.
So 3% really are having 36%, almost half of all the abortions in the United States. So women have to come together, black women have to come together, and they have to accept Jesus Christ, be forgiven, of course. And they're already sitting in our churches. They're already forgiven.
Right. That's right.
But there is a healing component that goes along with it.
Right.
And that's something that we want to offer to them to be healed, to come and have a group session, if you will, a prayer, but to know that they can walk lockstep and get in the midst of the fight. But we want them to be, you know, forgiven
yeah,
and
that's
healed.
Right. Yeah, and
course.
It's such an important message. It's a gospel message.
Absolutely.
And if you're in the Raleigh area this Saturday, imagine this. I mean, Love Life is powerful. The Happy Warriors here at Upper Room are powerful out down there in front of the abortion clinic.
Yes.
But imagine at a Love Life gathering for prayer and praise and worship and then going in front of the clinic, that Bishop Wooden and I are there at the same time.
Yes,
because that's what's happening this Saturday.
Right.
And I'll be leaning I'll be leaning more on him than I'll be leaning on myself. We'll both be leaning on the Lord.
Yes,
but that's one of the things that I'm so glad we're talking about this. And Love Life does a great job of talking about this.
Yes.
The forgiveness that's already there at the cross, especially if you're a believer, confess that, be done with it, get it behind you.
Yes,
but we need to have that compassion for the women and the men
and the men.
That have dropped them off, impregnated them, paid for it. That forgiveness needs, I actually think that's the first part of a message on pro-life is the forgiveness part, because I think it softens heart, it cleans off that junk, and then we can get into the other side of it, which is the preservation of life.
Exactly, exactly.
And many women have been pushed into abortion.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
They say it's choice, but really, is it a choice? When you're saying, you got to leave here.
Yeah.
You can't stay here anymore. You can't bring a baby here. Or when you're being trafficked, which we're not talking about, trafficking and abortion go hand in hand.
That's right.
They depend on each other for business.
That's right.
Can you imagine the conversation of Planned Parenthood when they talk about market share? How many more babies can we kill to increase our profits?
Yeah, that's right. Because that's where they make their money.
Absolutely. So we have to come in to this knowing that we're dealing with an enemy, and it's a spiritual attack. And when women are sitting in our pews and in our audiences, they are going back and forth, back and forth. They're hearing the word. They're hearing the devil bombard them over things that they've done 10, 15,
that's
30
right.
years ago.
And when that stuff stays in the dark, that's where Satan has
Absolutely.
Power.
Absolutely.
But it's a man's issue, too. So we have to be compassionate and remind women of the gospel and forgiveness, that the blood of the Lamb is more powerful than that abortion. But it's a man's issue, too, is it not, Bishop?
It is. It's said that 81% of the time, 1% of the time, if the man would take care of the baby, the mother would have the baby.
Man.
It is a male issue. Now, you mentioned Planned Parenthood. Now, this is where we make the shift from the kind of the soft compassion to balling up your fist.
Absolutely.
Because what people need to understand is there's a difference between talking to a lady who's had an abortion but dealing with the machine behind the industry.
That's right. Yeah.
That machine's got to be blown to smithereens.
Blown to smithereens.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
The absolute destruction of Planned Parenthood and every other abortion clinic in the country. This is Steve Noble talking to Bishop Wooden.
Not literally
Leslie
blown.
Monet. Right.
Not literally.
Thank you for that. We'll be right back.
Because you are more than I could ever dream.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, with Bishop Wooden in his office at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, waving a rainbow flag. Never thought I'd see the day until I looked more closely. I saw it on Facebook. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see pictures of it. Or you can join us right now in the office of Bishop Wooden on Facebook Live. Just go to the Steve Noble Show page, and you'll see the rainbow flag, and you'll sit there and go, why is Bishop Wooden? Of all the pastors I know.
What happened to him?
What happened to him? All of a sudden, he's waving a rainbow flag, but in the middle of that flag, it says Jesus Pride.
Jesus Pride.
And so and as opposed to taking pride in rebellion, we take pride in the Savior. So good job there.
Yes.
Subtle as usual. Here with Bishop Wooden at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. We're also here with Leslie Monet, who's a member here at the Upper Room and dealing with the Family Life Campaign with the Church of God in Christ across the country and around the world. So what's actually happening, Leslie, on the local level to deal with the issue of life? And it's not just the abortion. We're talking about fostering and mentoring children and adoption as well.
Absolutely. Adoption is the answer to abortion. if that mother doesn't want that baby.
That's right.
There are so many families that would love to have a little baby. Matter of fact, they want a little baby opposed to older kids that are in the foster care. Mm-hmm. All children deserve to have a home, even that little baby.
Amen.
And so we are saying to our families in different churches, hey, look at adoption, especially if you are not able to have children. I was never able to follow through with the birth process.
Right, right.
And I adopted two wonderful children. Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever met those?
I don't know. Not that I know of.
They are cupcakes. You know, sometimes they give me a run.
First class, Steve.
Don't they all?
They give me a run for my money. They're teenagers now, and so there's a process right there. But
you want to know how somebody's a liar? If they say, my kids never give me any trouble.
Liar,
pants on fire.
Yes,
all right, back
absolutely.
To you. Sorry, Leslie, keep
no
going.
No problem. they are the best thing since sliced bread. They are just the greatest gift to me. And I was adopted as well. Mm. As a matter of fact, my story is, almost 50 years ago, my mother was, doing her thing, got pregnant. I was the second child, and I was unwanted. It was told to her that she could not come back home because you can't bring that bastard here. Mm-hmm. And so I have lived my life thinking, wow, what would have happened to me if she didn't push through? She had just enough gospel in her, and she was going from pillar to post, staying on sofas and, just living where she could. And then she stumbled into a small Church of God in Christ, Second Street Church of God in Christ in Jacksonville Beach, Florida.
Glory,
and a couple
glory.
Took her in.
Glory to God.
And in 1971, I made my entrance into the world, and she decided she still wanted to go on with her life, and she gave me up for adoption. And it was one of the best things that ever happened to me because they were Christians indeed, and they put the word in me. So we want to tell our family.
Let's do this. She won't say this, but her mom went home to be with the Lord not long ago. Her birth mom.
Yeah.
Leslie was there.
Oh, my goodness.
That their relationship had healed. Her mother was in Christ. And Leslie became the main go-to person, and their relationship was just like that by the time she went home to be with the Lord.
Wow, what a beautiful story.
What a story.
You know what a longer word for the gospel is? Reconciliation.
Yes,
reconciliation,
sir.
Absolutely. Yes, I actually won my mom to Christ over
the
phone.
Praise the Lord. What a story.
Man.
And so,
you have the guys in
I love you, Bishop, but I'm going to do a whole show with her
in
the future.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Please do.
You've got to help tell that story. That's beautiful.
And so it is so important that we open up our Christian homes to foster care and adoption where we can really make changes in the lives of these young people, these infants, these little babies that may have had a plan A and it didn't work out, and now they're on plan B. We are the plan that God intended for them to come. We see that adoption is endorsed in the Bible, how Abraham took Lot in, how the Jesus Christ himself was adopted by his father Joseph.
Right.
And God has adopted all of us into the family, the kingdom of God.
We Gentiles.
Absolutely. Yes. Correction by the bishop. And so it is just the process that we want all of our churches to know that, hey, we want to get this done. And so we're working on grants, trying to come up with ways because adoption is expensive.
Sure.
And if you're talking about a new baby, why can't pro-life and these clinics and the adoption agencies come together and say, hey, she doesn't want this baby, but they do.
Oh, we need to be a city of refuge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You got a
sanctuary
problem?
City.
That's right. Sanctuary city.
Absolutely.
You got a problem. You have an unwanted pregnancy.
Come to us.
I got to get to a church because they won't condemn me. And then they'll love me well. They'll help me with this baby. Somebody will take the baby. They'll help with adoption or they'll help me raise the child.
Yes.
That's what we should be known for.
Yes.
As well as standing up against the evil of abortion itself.
And I have seen the culture, even here at the Upper Room, grow in reference to adoption.
Amen.
We have several families that have adopted within the last 5 years. And it's a beautiful process. The church accepts them. And if you can't adopt, you can help someone who's adopting.
That's
if you
right.
can't foster, you know, you can cook a meal on a Thursday night, or you can buy some clothes or support them in other ways. But we have to come to this issue and say, this is our job.
Amen.
We cannot resource this out. We cannot give this job to someone else. It's the kingdom's job.
Well, in the body of Christ, Bishop Wooden, we don't have a resource problem. We have an allocation problem.
I agree.
We don't need the government. We don't need
Absolutely.
Agencies. We don't need that. We got
Amen.
Plenty of money and plenty
yes.
of resources and
yes.
plenty of manpower in the body of Christ if we bother to step up.
You're 100% correct.
Yes.
We've got to see the need and see that ministry is more than preaching. Ministry is also getting out there, rolling up your sleeve. I call it rubber meets the road
yeah.
Christianity, where you actually get out there and you make it happen.
Yeah, that's right.
And the good thing is more and more Christians are getting involved.
Yes.
We're seeing people redirect their resources. People who, I find that when people find out that you're doing things like that, funding no longer becomes a problem, because people will give to
That's right.
things of that nature. And so we thank God for what we're seeing happen in that area.
Yeah, and it's so important. And by the way, if you're here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area where we're broadcasting from today, this Saturday from 9 to 11, Bishop mm-hmm. Wooden and I will be with our friends at Love Life,
yep.
lovelife.org. You can go check it out. It's around North Carolina, but specifically here, Bishop Wooden and I will be there leading the charge on Saturday morning. We do
Amen.
Praise and worship together.
Amen.
Then we go over to the abortion clinic, which I have a question for you about. And we do praise and worship. We'll hear a testimony there from Kathy Firth, who's going to be sharing her background
awesome.
Story on the abortion issue. But I brought a bunch of my students from one of the Constitution classes that I teach, and a bunch of parents came out. What happens to Christians when they show up to pray and praise and worship in front of an abortion clinic? I think it's radically important, because all of a sudden, Bishop, the spiritual war that we all know exists is made manifest
yes.
right in front of your eyes.
Absolutely.
So why should people actually take the time to go to an abortion clinic like we'll do this Saturday with Love Life here in Raleigh?
I find my personal experience is it is the actual real thing. The church service is almost like a rehearsal. It's practice. The clinic is the actual game. You're actually out there. You're actually out there where the kingdom of God
yeah.
and the kingdom of Satan clashes. And every time a child wins, or a mother changes her mind,
That's right.
or something like that happens, we score a victory. And I've said this in my travels throughout the country, that the things that happen when you're out there will almost make the glory that you see in a church service
oh,
by
man.
Comparison
all the better.
A yarn by comparison, because the power
That's right.
that it takes. And you know that in many ways you're laying it all on the line. We've been out there where the man who owned the clinic next to where we were had a gun. Or there have been people that we've confronted and won to Christ and won over, who threatened to kill us. We've been cussed at, spit on,
sure.
you know, all of that. And what we respond with is the love of Christ, and you see
yeah.
you see the power
That's right.
of Christianity in the streets. And you know what? To me, that's coming as close to Paul, Silas,
Amen.
Timothy, Titus, the apostles mm-hmm. and the disciples as we've
Absolutely.
Come.
Yeah, and what
Absolutely.
They experience.
We can in our day and time.
That's right.
So there is nothing like it. I want to say to all of the church members out there, if you've never been, meet us. You will see some things that will literally change your life.
That's
to
right.
my brothers and sisters of a darker hue, we need to be out there, because you see that the main people who show up at the clinics look like us.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And the main people, until we got involved, who were fighting for the lives of the babies, Steve, looked like you.
That's right.
So now there's something off about that. So now when the people are going into the clinic and they look over and they see someone who reminds them of their mom.
That's right.
Or their dad, their sister, their brother, saying, come over here. Let us talk to you. You don't have to do this. I'm telling you, there's a connection
yeah,
that takes
that's
place.
Right. That's right.
And many times it changes people's minds and their
That's
hearts.
Right. Well, even with Love Life, when they're standing across the street, which is only, you know, only it's a small street, so it's
right,
not much
right.
separation.
No.
But we're over there praising the Lord. We're praying for the people in. We're praying for the people that work mm-hmm. there. And I think it because everybody's made in the image of God. There's
right.
no such thing as an atheist.
Right.
God's a 800-pound gorilla in the room, and everybody knows he's there. Okay? Romans 1. So... when we're out there praising and praying and worshiping the Lord and interceding on their behalf,
yes,
they're
sir.
Reminded of the divine.
Yes, sir.
Which they're made in God's image, whether they want to agree with that or not.
Yeah.
And it reminds people of the divine. And you'll see that happen. You'll see the darkness as they blast the most vulgar rap music they can find.
Yeah.
And we're across the street praising the Lord. But that's the deal. That's the spiritual reality.
And isn't there something? They blast rap music. Vulgar rap music.
Of course.
You hear that, my brothers and sisters out there? They're using rap music to aid and abet our people
in
killing our own people.
Unbelievable.
Oh,
Leslie Monet, God bless you, sister. Thank you for being with us today.
She was the best.
Bishop Wooden, as always.
Man, I love you.
I love you,
Thank
too.
Thank you for this space.
Can
You're
I give
welcome.
A shout out?
Yeah, go ahead, quick.
Shout out to Bishop Vincent Matthews,
Amen.
Who's over the Missions Department
Amen.
Family Life Campaign. He has authorized us wherever we go
Amen.
To go ahead and march and pray
Amen.
Against any abortion clinic. God
Amen.
Bless you, man of God.
We'll be back.